Good morning to all of you. What a wonderful morning this morning, yeah? To hear five young people starting their lives obeying the Lord Jesus at an early stage in their lives. That's just wonderful, yeah? And then Fred, that step of obedience to get baptized this morning. And Saeed, that was moving. It was brief, but that was moving. A man who, because of his circumstances, was tortured because of his faith in Christ. Yeah? We don't often hear that face to face, yeah? What a privilege to be here this morning. I wonder if you've had some good news. I wonder if you had much good news last year. I know that I'm looking at one couple that they got married. That must have been good news. There were probably others who got married. Different types of good news. People who maybe got a new job. Maybe they got a promotion. Maybe they were able to move house. Maybe they got a good medical result. Maybe after a long wait, you received a visa. Yeah, and you were successful in a visa application. There's different types of good news, and some types of good news are rather smaller, and yet they're still good news, and you'd have a sense of relief when these smaller...
Hannah's got something to say.
Saeed has something to say. Some major, major good news. His brother, who has been in prison also... He literally just heard now his brother has been released.
Wonderful. That's a better illustration. My next one's going to be very weak, okay? I had a tough summer last summer. My next one's going to be weak. That's wonderful news, Saeed. That's wonderful. What good news to be walking out of prison. I had a fairly full summer last year, and so... Joss and I, we planned to go to one of the Scottish islands in September, and we got all packed up. And you know how it is when you've been looking forward to a holiday for some time. You're just wanting to leave and to go and to start enjoying it. And we got this awful email that because of the storms on the West Coast, the ferry was cancelled. Don't worry, We'll let you know when you're on the boat. Don't contact us. That was a Saturday morning. And a few hours later, we got a message saying your boat will be on Wednesday night. So you feverishly search for accommodation. And we were just relieved to get a cottage in the Highlands for a few days until that boat went. We entered, it was just a relief. To get away and to have that such enjoyable rest. It was actually sunny in September on the West Coast. This pales into insignificance compared with the release from prison. But the leaders have asked me to speak of the very best of good news, and that's what I'm going to speak of today, yeah? The very best of good news. And for many of us here, the very best of good news is Jesus. He's the very best news that we've got. And today I'm going to explain that good news. I'm going to explain how you can enter into the reality of that good news this morning. Yeah? This man, as he walked out of prison this morning, he's entering into the reality of the fresh air, and he's no longer in his cell, yeah? You can enter into the reality of the very best news that is Jesus. We're going to look at this through the story of Zacchaeus. And I'm going to read from Luke chapter 19, verse 1 to 10. I think it's a delightful account. This is a real man. This isn't just a story. This is a man who met Jesus, and as you'll see, his life was transformed, yes? Just as my life has just been transformed, just as Saeed's life has been transformed, just as various lives have been transformed. Luke's a careful historian, and he writes as follows. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man, that is Jesus, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. A bit of background first. Jesus was passing through this city of Jericho. It was one of the wealthiest cities in Israel at that time. And he was on the way to the capital city, Jerusalem. And he had told his followers that he would be killed in the capital city and that 3 days later he would rise from the dead. Jesus was in his final days of his life. And as we've just read, Luke records how he met Zacchaeus last time passing through Jericho. And he meets this wealthy tax collector. And the tax collectors in those days, they didn't charge 19 or 20% as their starting rate. They tried to get out of the people as much as they possibly could. It was a bit more complicated than that because they were collecting taxes for the Roman armies that had conquered the land. And they were capturing the taxes. They were taking the taxes from Zacchaeus's oppressed people. So Zacchaeus was collaborating with the enemy, getting as much tax as he could out of them and taking a fairly healthy cut. You might say he'd done rather well. He'd become a chief tax collector in one of the wealthiest cities of Israel. He'd made it in some ways, but in Jesus' eyes, he was lost. He'd clearly compromised, and in his case, everyone knew it. His name meant just or pure. Clearly his parents had some kind of expectations for him, that he'd keep a certain standard. Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus, the just one, the pure one. And he hadn't lived up to the standard at all. And so Jesus considered him lost. I'm a forester. That's my trade, as it were. And we manage forests. That's what I do. And yes, we get paid to walk around woodlands. Yep, that's we enjoy it. Yeah, that's okay. But you actually have to go off the tracks in order to assess the trees, and you have to push through the branches. So it's not quite as pleasant as it immediately sounds. And as you go into the trees and you can wander a bit, you know, and you can look around at them. And there's basically two types of forester, yeah? There's foresters who get lost in forests, right? And there are foresters who get lost in forests and admit it. I'm in the second category. Yeah? I'm in the second category. Every forester has got lost in a wood at some stage. And in some of these remote forests in the Highlands, you don't have mobile system. You don't have a mobile signal. Google Maps isn't quite so helpful in the middle of a forest as it is in the city of Edinburgh. And actually, it's not much fun if it's beginning to get dark and you're in a rather large forest and you're getting, and you know you're lost. Yeah? Tip is head downstream. At least in Scotland, you'll eventually find someone. Yeah? But we've all, in Jesus' eyes, we've all become lost in life. All of us. I have. We've wandered. And we haven't kept the standards even that we would expect for ourselves, yes? And we haven't managed to love other people consistently as we would have liked to. And this wandering affects our relationships with others, and it definitely affects our relationship with God. And so we find ourselves lost and loved. Because Jesus says in this passage that he came to seek and to save what was lost. Zacchaeus was a short man, and he was curious. He wanted to see Jesus. I'm not sure we can have different reasons for being here today, and I'm so glad you're here. Watching the baptisms, maybe one of your friends got baptized today, yeah? And maybe you're watching online and you're enjoying seeing being part of this occasion. And perhaps in this crowd, you are curious about Jesus. And you've got a sense that in some way you are lost, that you've wandered from the path, and that you want to find Jesus. You want a new life. And I want to encourage you, you can receive a new life from Jesus. That's what he wants. You can receive that new life this morning. You can receive that change this morning, today, in this place. There's one thing that's key. I'm a forester who has got lost, and I admit it. The Bible says, blessed are the poor in spirit. In other words, those who don't think they've got it all together. Yeah? And I know that I need the forgiveness of God. Yeah? That's key to be able to admit that. Jesus was known as the friend of tax collectors, a friend of people who have wandered from God. And he's passing through Jericho there, and he sees Zacchaeus, and he knows his name. There's quite a crowd. And he says, Zacchaeus, come down. Come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. And he knows your name here today. He knows you. I know it's a big crowd, and I very possibly don't know your name, and maybe very few people know your name here, but he knows your name. He knows about you. He knew of Zacchaeus. You're the one called just and pure, and you're not. But I want to stay at your house. I want to be with you. I want to stay overnight with your family. And I know that might have been a bit of an interruption, as we heard in the Christmas carol service. When Jesus comes to a life, it is an interruption. But Zacchaeus comes down quickly, and he receives and welcomes Jesus into his house. You are loved by God. I mean you, individually. You'll hear that many times in this place, yeah? But you are loved by God, and God wants to find you. He wants you to receive a new life. I just love it how instantly Zacchaeus was kind of included in the inner circle of the friends of Jesus. And that can happen to you this morning. And I'm going to give you an opportunity in a few minutes to enter into that to welcome Jesus into your life, yeah? And to have that kind of enter into that inner circle of the friends of Jesus. And when that happens, what others think of you becomes considerably less important, because you're in the inner circle of all inner circles, and you're loved there, and you're welcomed there, and you're in your right place there, and it's wonderful. Jesus made this possible by dying on a cross. Jesus was willing to pay the cost. In dying on the cross, he removed the barrier in my life, which was pride and thinking I was better than others. And he removed that barrier between me and God. He removed that thing. And it's as if he opened up the way through the trees and he showed me how I could get to him out of my state of being lost, as it were. He, Jesus, makes it possible to enter into a relationship with him. It all seems to happen so quickly in this story. It may happen quite quickly for you in the next few minutes. He says, Zacchaeus, I've got to come down. I want to stay at your house, not next week, but today. Yep, come down. And he comes down quickly, and he comes down joyfully, and he doesn't receive Jesus somewhat half-heartedly. He welcomes him. I want to encourage you to start thinking in these moments of turning around to Jesus. I believe that I'm not quite sure when Zacchaeus really realizes how loved he is. There seems to me to be a gap in the story, because the next thing that we read is that the people were muttering that Jesus had gone to his house. You see, Jesus didn't mind the cost. Jesus was willing to invite Zacchaeus right into the inner circle. There was some moment of dealing with Jesus. And just for a minute, please forget those around you. Try to forget the person who's speaking and allow yourself to have a moment of dealing with Jesus. That moment transformed Zacchaeus' life. In that moment, it happened. You can welcome Jesus this morning. If you feel you need to change, it's not your imagination. We all need to change. We have all been lost. And now we're in Zacchaeus' house, and Zacchaeus stands up. Everyone can see. He stands up and he says, "Behold, Lord." And there's an immediate change in the life of Zacchaeus. And the way in which he changes at this point is the most obvious area in his life. In his case, he had been greedy. He had tried to extract money out of his own people for the Romans. And now he's becoming a generous person, willing to give half of what he owns to the poor. And he changes, not because Jesus tells him, "You need to give half your money to the poor." It happens instantly, out of his heart, out of free will. Why? Because he's met Jesus, and with Jesus, he knows he's received so much love, and he's received so much, he's compelled to start a new life. I wonder what it would be for you. I wonder what it would be for you to leave behind. I wonder what it would mean for you, what area of your life would look new if you welcomed Jesus this morning. Pride? Money? Anxiety? What would it look like for you to leave behind? And I want to just demonstrate, just acting out just now, kind of what this looks like, yeah? And it's as if you're going your own way, just bumbling along, or maybe walking with a certain purpose. But God is somewhere over there. God isn't in the foreground. God is somewhere behind you. You might say, you've got your back to him because you're focused on other things. And that path leads one to become lost. If I'm not careful, it will lead me to fall off there. But more seriously, it leads to judgment, the inevitable judgment of God after we die. And there comes a moment where hearing the good news of Jesus, that he is willing to find you, he wants to find you, he wants to give you a new life, you begin to say, wow, he died for me. He loved me so much. Zacchaeus couldn't believe it, that Jesus wanted to be in his house, right in his house to stay with him. He loves me so much. And you start a new life. Now, I asked one day someone, I did that kind of little acting out one day with someone, and I asked him the question. I said, are you walking this way, kind of doing your own thing? Bit of religion maybe, but kind of mainly just doing your own thing. Or have you turned around to Jesus and asked him to forgive you? And you know what the person said? He said, I'm kind of here. I'm not there. And I know I'm not there, but I'm kind of here. And my message to that person would be the same as the person who's there. I would say, turn around to Jesus. I wonder if you're looking at Jesus. I wonder if he is the key thing in your life. He died for you. He loves you. He wants to rescue you. He wants to forgive you. Turn around. I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that. It's Jesus' kindness that leads us to turn around. It's his patience that leads us to turn around. And if you want to welcome Jesus into your life, to start a new life, I just invite you to stand in this moment, yes? This is an opportunity for you. If you want to start that new life, if you're watching online, you can stand in your home. If you're here on the balcony, if you're downstairs, you can stand. If you want to invite Jesus to be the Lord of your life, you want to start a new life, then I encourage you to stand in this moment. Take the opportunity. It's not so hard. Take the opportunity. Just going to give you a moment. I'm not going to extend this moment. But you want to start that new life this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your enormous love to us. We just praise you that you came to seek and to save that which was lost, in Jesus' name. Perhaps you've got questions. Ask your questions today. Yeah? Perhaps you've got questions about what this would look like. Ask your questions today. And perhaps next time we have baptisms, you'll be the one in the water. Yeah? Thank you. The Lord bless you.